Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural Walk Like an American podcast. You can expect more of these as I continue my trek to LA. I'm excited because I think they will be a great way to share my experiences with y'all. Today, I'll introduce you to my friend Alina, whom I've known for more than 10 years. She is a mother of three who has decided to homeschool her children. In my conversations with her, I've learned a lot about this very American trend. I know a lot of my followers are young parents and grandparents, so I thought you would find her thoughts interesting. I know she has certainly challenged my own views on the subject. Alina, so thank you for, you know, having this conversation with me about homeschooling. As you know, I'm really interested in this. So the first question I have for you is just simply, why did you decide to homeschool?
Well, there are many reasons that for which I decided to homeschool, but one of them is that I really believe in individual flourishing. And I wanted my children to flourish as individuals and to learn and to love learning. I think that public schools right now are handicapped in money and time because they have to spend so much of it on paperwork and bureaucracy. I think the nature of the school system is such that education programs limit teachers' abilities to do their jobs effectively and focus on the needs of individual children. If you acknowledge that children have differing needs and capabilities, then you can also possibly acknowledge that I can give my child one-on-one a better, richer, and more finely tailored educational experience at home than my child can receive at school, where resources are limited, divided, and strained. I also think that if you step back and look at or if you even remember your childhood and remember the school system and remember spending time in class, there are automatically values that are being communicated there. And the public school curriculum, since its inception and creation, grooms children for a materialistic and competitive hierarchy in which this idea of success is more highly valued than kindness, empathy, or courage. We don't reward people or students for their kindness or their empathy. We reward them for how well they did on the test. I think that's reflected in how we measure, grade, compare, rate, and evaluate learning in the context of schools. And I guess that I disagree with those measurements, and I disagree with the values that underlie them. At this point in our lives, we're lucky. I can afford to stay home and homeschool, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity. I never thought that I would have it, and I never thought that I would want it. And I think I would kick myself later if I didn't use this time to teach and raise my children.
Now, so you went to school. You were certainly not homeschooled. I've met your mom. I've had talks with your mom, and she's, let's say, not the biggest fan of homeschooling. So how did you come to, you know, how did you come to this view?
That's a good question. I think it was a long process. I always had a respect for people who had the, I saw it as courage to attempt to homeschool. And then the more I read, the more I just came to the realization that it was really well suited to our life as well. John Holt is an author, and he started this idea of unschooling. And the assumption behind it is that school teaches you how to do well in school. But beyond that, it doesn't teach you specific things about life. And I was really attracted to that. It makes a lot of sense to me because by educating my kids at home, I can apply educational theories and philosophies which make sense given their individual personalities and needs. I think once you acknowledge that every educational method or pedagogy was chosen by someone, an expert who thought it was best, it seems silly to leave your child's heart and humanity to the experts for safekeeping. I think kids have individualized learning styles and developmental timelines that differ. And being a parent of three has taught me that each child learns, laughs, loves, appreciates, and tastes life differently. And I think respecting these differences is a critical part of nurturing, parenting, and teaching. I also think that you don't get to do enough reading in school. I think you should read books, whole books, not essays all the time. And I think sitting around and reading the Chronicles of Narnia for a whole afternoon is just a great educational experience for kids.
Mm-hmm. Now, one, you know, we have to talk a little bit about just stereotypes. I mean, there's stereotypes for everything. And there's certainly this stereotype of homeschooling families as just wanting to isolate themselves from the quote-unquote real world, trying to keep their children in a bubble. What's your take on that?
I empathize a lot with that concern. But I also think that school social environments are overwhelmingly competitive. We as adults are used to it. We don't see it. And I think it's really cruel for young people. I think young people are under a lot of pressure these days. I think you can read that if you look at any of the psychology magazines or papers. And they haven't developed enough of a sense of self to be able to communicate their own feelings and needs in a way that feels validated in a school environment. In a peer-pressured environment. So if you have a child who is different, their main struggle in school might not be to learn, but how to conform. That may be the challenge that they have, and I'm not sure that that's a worthwhile challenge. Rather than spend a majority of his day with kids in his same age group, Max interacts with people of all ages, shapes, and sizes. His close friendships include girls, and his friendships aren't chilled by sex segregation or the clickiness of schools. I think that Max gets an enriched socialization. He interacts one-on-one with people of all ages, and he forms lasting relationships that he can develop throughout the course of a day, as opposed to having a 10-minute recess in which he can develop them and then trying to pass notes so he can communicate for the rest of the class period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's socialization, there's general socialization, and I like to think of this as enriched socialization, basically that helps him learn to cultivate intimate, deeper relationships rather than rapid, superficial, click-based ones.
Now, okay, so what about the question, however, of, you know, just limiting your children's world? Like, there's this concern that homeschooled children grow up to be very close-minded. How do you answer that?
Okay. I'll answer it. I think that you're right, and it's something that it's actually one of the reasons I homeschool is because I think open-mindedness is important. We live in a small town in Alabama, which means socialization often occurs along channels that are so narrow and too thin that they don't fit my personal Romanian, Alabamian, American identity, and they probably don't fit Max's, my favorite color is pink, identity either. I want my kids to be open-minded and educated about other cultures, about individual differences. I don't want them, I think there's a lot of homophobia in schools. I think there's a lot of racism that I remember as a child hearing, and I don't want them exposed to these ideas in a context of peer pressure where they're likely to adopt them just so that they can fit in, rather than really be able to put a critical perspective on them and say, why does this person think this way? Why should I think this way? Should I think this way? Maybe I shouldn't. I think it's the school curriculum is so focused on Western civilization, and that's, you know, the what they're exposed to the most. They don't really know anything about the rest of the world, and I want them to learn about Asian countries, and not just that Asian countries are going to take away their jobs. I want them to learn, you know, about other cultures. I want them to be well versed in the world as opposed to just, you know, their own culture.
Now what? That sort of brings me to my other question, which is, how do you do that? I mean, there's people who would say, oh, it takes a lot of chutzpah for parents who think they can just teach their children every subject. How does that work? How do you teach him the subjects that might be just, like, out of your expertise?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that kept me from homeschooling, I think, for a long time. I was really concerned about that. And friends, family members, community members, lifelong homeschooling families, and various educational entrepreneurs, among them Michael Strong, opened my eyes on this. The truth is that what I want is what's best for my kids. I want them to learn from the best. I want them to learn from teachers who know the most about the topic and the subject that interests the kids, the individuals who are experts in that topic as opposed to experts in educational theory and the science, quote unquote, of children. So the way that you do that, and what I've learned is there's a tremendous amount of online resources. You can basically talk to a university professor and ask if you can go and visit their laboratory at some point. Kids can take courses at community college when they get old enough. You can take advantage of the various programs at the science museums in your town. You can do an apprenticeship at a local botanical garden where they learn how to take care of plants and they learn, you know, ecology. They can become involved in citizen science and become involved in, there's thousands of citizen science projects in the United States. A lot of it, you know, has more of an independent drive, but there are a ton of people attached to all of these different topics and a ton of resources in the community. Once you start looking at your community as an educational resource and seeing each individual who knows a lot about something as someone who can teach your child, your world opens up. Because the truth is, it's not just the teacher in the classroom that can teach your child effectively about a topic of their interest.
Well, that... I guess that's something that I did not know about homeschooling, basically, until I came here and spent more time with you. But I also wanted to ask, I see Micah in the window trying to get our attention, so we probably need to, you know, hurry this up. But I really wanted to ask, how does your family life benefit from homeschooling?
That's one of the, you know, I think... that the family has to agree that this is something you're going to do. Your husband or your partner really has to be committed to this because it does affect your family life. Basically, there's no more segmented day in which there's school and not school. Your entire day is a learning opportunity. Making dinner is a learning opportunity. One of the greatest things for me about homeschooling and family life is that Max has really learned how to nurture. I think that our gender roles, our very rigid gender roles, don't encourage young men to give in to their nurturing side or to develop their nurturing side. Max thinks it's normal for a big brother to change a diaper or warm some milk for his little sister. He sweeps under high chairs when his little sister makes a mess, and he runs to get a Band-Aid and a kiss for boo-boos when Mila gets a boo-boo. And he thinks that caring and nurturing is part of a continuum in which his role is not minimized merely because of his genitalia. Also, I think there's a holistic approach to education that permeates the family life when you homeschool. And we're not slicing and dicing subjects and topics so much and carving away our feelings from facts. We can integrate them better. And social studies, quote unquote, from art or music or math, we can investigate everything in a holistic manner, which means that when we spend time together on the weekends, you know, going to a park, we can understand it as a learning experience as well. Everything is related, and every idea at some end has a human face or consequences for our shared world. I don't think learning is a school-bound activity. It spills over into everything else. And I think that kids who get to have childhoods turn out to grow up and become better adults. Just as I believe holding a child lets them know it's okay to ask for comfort and that you can count on your family to provide it, I think it's okay. I think that letting kids be kids and enjoy their childhood rather than structuring it so rigidly and planning every aspect of it so rigidly makes it easier for them to not look back when they're 30 or 40 and say, now's the time for me to be a kid because I never got to be a kid. Mm-hmm. I never was footloose and fancy free. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to do it. Because when they do it at that age, honestly, there's costs for third parties. There's costs for their families and the people who love them. So I think, you know, if you let a child be a child, he'll grow up into an adult. If you don't, well, I think you'll see the child return somewhere in the future.
Well, I think actually that's a good note to end. And like I said, the kids are trying to get your attention now. So
I know, and I want to add one more thing because I think this is something that is important to me. I think that the respect for sex and gender is another important idea to me. I don't homeschool so that I can stay home and clean the house and cook and be the perfect wife. I have a partner, and he does those things with me. My agreement to stay home was not my agreement to be the perfect house cleaner or the perfect cook. my agreement was, you know, to help take care of our children. That's what it's based on. I think our culture is incredibly disrespectful to women and men in the gender roles that it assigns us, and very adept at inculcating self-hatred and loathing in young girls. And so I prefer to keep my kids right now in a place that nurtures young girls and loves young girls, which is my home, until they're mature enough to see the forest from the trees and be able to choose their friends and not give in to peer pressures. I think it's scary that so many girls have anorexia. I think it's scary that so many young women can expect to be raped. I think we raise children for more than careers and success. We raise them for relationships and love, which bring meaning to their lives. And I want them to be able to be themselves. And that's, you know, ultimately the fear of closed-mindedness. I acknowledge there's people out there who homeschool their kids for those reasons. But I think there are much more compelling reasons for homeschooling your kids because you want them to have an open view of the world.
Great. Well, thank you. You know, thank you so much. I'm going to let you, you know, get back to what you need to do. And I think I have a feeling this is going to be a good first podcast for my blog. I think it's probably going to be a little bit controversial. So I look forward to hearing, you know, people's responses to it.
Oh, thank you, Tina, for asking me questions and for sitting outside in this backyard in Alabama with me and trying to let me think through why I homeschool.
Great. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for today. You can expect future podcasts to be shorter than this one, but I thought this topic deserved a bit more of an in-depth look. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. From Tuscaloosa, Alabama, this is Constantino Diaz-Duran.